Do you feel this vehicle is safe for highway travel?
Yes, I do. Yes, I really do. I believe that. I know it's not pretty to look at, but it'll get you where you want to go.
Now, you got no outside mirror.
No, we lost that.
You have no functioning gauges.
No, not a one. However, the radio still works. Funny as that may seem, with all this mess, that the radio is the only thing that's really working good, and it's as clear as a bell. Don't ask me how.
TBTM!
It's the first line of the film, man. It's got to be on the money here.
You guys are so fun. Just relentlessly fun. I keep thinking, when are they going to stop being fun? And the answer is never.
Together I wait around. Can't a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun.
I think people should listen to TBTL because it will make them funnier, even if it's in their own head.
This party is going to be off the hook.
Well, all right. Hello, good morning, and welcome, everyone, to a very special Monday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Adventure begins again.
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host, coming to you from beautiful Corvallis, Oregon.
Oh, Ma, Pa, it's just beautiful.
In a driveway in front of the home of Cheryl, Lance, Irene, and Julian, and it turns out is, in fact, their lucky
it's
day.
It's your lucky day. You just found a USB flash drive in the parking lot.
We have shown up to do some personal podcasting to an audience of four. On a surprisingly cold day here in Corvallis, I have to say. Cheryl was nice enough to bring us some broadcast coffee in these public radio branded thermal flasks, so this is going to keep us warm throughout the show. Of course, this is all part of TBTLathon 12, contentless delivery.
That cash could really get me out of a couple of jams.
Wherein we are reminding you, the fine TBTL listeners, and the people watching us on YouTube. Hi there, everybody. How's it going? That we are raising money this week to keep this show happening. And we sure hope that you can go to tbtl.net and kick us a couple of bucks. We'll talk about that later and all the thank you gifts that we have in store for you, including this little baby.
I'll say what's up, dog?
The TBTL sound box, which is already, I think, maybe the must-have item for the thoughtful TBTL 10. Oh, by the way, this is episode 3,429 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
And we have, of course, because we're in Corvallis, we had to check in with the Corvallis Gazette Times and take a look at their roses and raspberry column. So we're going to be giving some roses and raspberries to various things here in Corvallis. I got a raspberry for something. The worst television show I've ever seen in my life that I watched last night in the hotel room in Corvallis.
I don't even own a television.
It's called World's Funniest Weather. And it's even worse than the title would indicate, so we'll talk about that. Plus, lots of emails and V-mails because you all have been sending in lots of nice messages and interacting with us. We may even try. I don't know if we'll be able to do this on day one. This is very much a sort of a beta test for this whole thing. But we may try to see what y'all are saying on YouTube as well, because I know there's a bunch of you watching this right now and commenting and doing that sort of stuff. Of course, we can't do any of that without the help of this young man, the longest-running Cobro of the show.
He may be best known for his depictions of the tall ships, capturing their grace and power.
He is Andrew Walsh, and he is joining me. What's the name of this neighborhood? He's joining me from the No Idea neighborhood of Corvallis, Oregon. He's a mere feet from me. He is Andrew Walsh. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Luke. I'm sorry that I'm coming a little hot there, working on the levels.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm good. You know how you used to talk about the podcast, maybe in the bad old days, where you literally had like a stick and
yes.
a piece of string keeping the podcast
yes.
up? I now relate. I don't think I really fully understood what you're talking about. I am looking at, we're under a canopy that's poking out the side of this 1993 Mitsubishi van right now, and I'm looking at the pole that is holding up the canopy and is blowing in the wind in a way yeah. that makes me incredibly anxious. And that's not even at the top of my list. That doesn't crack the top 10 things that are making
me
anxious right now.
I'll take the listeners back to 12 minutes ago. It was 9:59. Now, we had made an announcement.
It was a morning just like this.
It was a morning just like this 11 minutes ago. It was 1 minute until we were supposed to activate the YouTube feed of this thing. Andrew had been running around like a technical maniac, setting up all this audio board and everything. And at the last minute, we realized something was not cooperating with the YouTube feed. We never tried to do this before. We never tried to live stream the show on video. And it involved me speakerphone dialing Eric the Viking Stromstad. By the way, shout out to Eric for basically making this show happen today. And at about, I think it was 10 a.m. and 15 seconds, Andrew, you hit this critical button that we didn't know about that Eric explained we needed to hit.
That was on me.
This thing went live.
Yeah. It was on me. I forgot the order of operation on one thing.
My friend, you have had a lot going on. We've never done the show in someone's driveway. We've never tried to drive a 1993 Mitsubishi Delica van, which, side note, definitely tops out at about 53.
Mm-hmm. Is it self-driving?
It's whatever the opposite of self-driving is. I was like just driving this down from Portland last night. I have never had to concentrate more on driving a car in the last 10 years of my life, because you forget how many sort of creature comforts and modern things they have now built into cars so that you don't, like, I don't know, bump into somebody else or rear end someone or have the van blow over, which felt like a real possibility driving down here yesterday. So anyway, this is all a new thing for us, and I think you're doing a great job. So
thank you to my friend Andrew
here at the top of the show. Now, we did get off to sort of a bit of a challenging start yesterday. We met up in Portland, and we were very excited to launch out on this voyage. And we were also very excited because we had these special magnetic signs made for the side of the van. And they said, podcast delivery. And then it had the phone number of the TBTL voicemail line, 206-414-TBTL. And we actually, this was a certain amount of work. We wanted to look like one of those delivery vans, maybe like a DHL van, like we're delivering the podcast to people.
Yeah, no lawsuits, but let's just say that the design was based on some of our favorite DHL vans.
Exactly. And we also thought it'd be fun to have the phone number on there, because as we're driving around the western United States, ending up in Phoenix, Arizona on Friday, we thought it might be funny if somebody saw our sign and then called the number, like, what is that all about? Can you please deliver a podcast to me?
And do you mind if I jump in here? You had asked me, I think it was very near the end of the week. You said, you know, should we get signs made or not? And I'll be honest, I was very ambivalent about it. I was like, sure, could be a nice little lanyap, as I like to say, or I think the trip will go fine without the signs. You had the signs designed and you showed them to me. And it was love at first DHL.
Yes.
But not really DHL.
No, something based loosely on the idea
exactly.
of DHL, but nothing that would infringe on anybody's trademark or copyright.
Danny in New Hampshire. I'm going to need some representation on this. But I fell in love with these. How big did you say? 3 foot by 3 foot, 4 foot by 4 foot square?
No, 2 foot by 2 foot, which...
But in my heart, they loomed larger at like 3 or 4 foot square.
They were just absolutely perfect. And we put them on the van yesterday at my apartment. I took a couple pictures, and then we hit the road. And we came down here to Corvallis, and then we parked the van in the parking lot of the Holiday Inn Express, and we got all of our valuable stuff out of the van and put it in the hotel, and then went and grabbed some dinner. And at dinner, you said to me, somewhat sheepishly, Andrew, I don't want to be, like, overly paranoid, but should we take those signs off of the van? Because, like, overnight, we don't want any, like, drunk OSU students to, like, peel them off the van.
Do you mind if I add a little bit more context here too, from like kind of my perspective? I feel like you, in a way that I really appreciate, I don't know if paranoid is a word that has negative connotations, and I don't
generally
mean it, but I don't mean it in a negative way, but you're the most paranoid person I've ever met, and it sickens me. But you have been very, very careful about where we park the van, what we leave in the van, what we don't leave in the van. Any
uncharacteristically
thieves out there,
so, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, you are being very, very thoughtful. There was a chance that we were going to try to park in an underground parking lot for even more security, but our van wouldn't clear the 7 feet.
Yeah.
And we even had, and this will maybe come up later, we had parked the van a little bit further away from the front entrance of the hotel, but in a more traditional parking spot, right? Just like kind of a vertical parking spot. And you said, you know what? I would feel better if we parked it in one of those parallel spots that are kind of parallel to the road, right in front of the doors of the hotel, because
yes.
we're closer to the hotel doors, less chance of somebody you messing know, with the messing van. With the van. And so we were very, you were being so careful instead of
this
paranoid.
Is what I get for it, Andrew.
Yes. And then we go to dinner and I say, you know, let me just add one more layer to that paranoia. Maybe when we get back overnight, and it's, by the way, it's still very light out. We're having dinner at 6
yes.
something. And I say, when we get back, maybe we should peel those signs off.
And I was thinking, this is Andrew just inventing a potential problem, just borrowing trouble. But I said, okay, yeah, we might as well. What's the downside? So we sashay back.
We did sashay too.
To the hotel and to the van. And I go, oh, yeah, we should go grab those signs off of the van. And guess what was no longer attached to the van? After we were literally 1.5 hours into the trip. The signs had been stolen.
They're gone.
They're in the wind. My theory is that they are right now attached to a refrigerator in a frat house at Oregon State University or near Oregon State University. I don't know why. It seems like a frat boy kind of stunt. As I wrote on Twitter yesterday, if you happen to be in a frat house and you see the sign, please like and subscribe.
Now, the reason I mention, and this is going to sound like I'm blaming you, Luke, which I am not. I appreciate how careful you're being. But I think there is some irony in the fact that if we had just parked this van in a normal parking spot between two cars or something, it wouldn't have been such an advertisement to the street. We'd kind of parked the van so any passerby walking on the sidewalk would look at it. We almost were like advertising podcasts. We invited them to take it. And again, I didn't think of it. I didn't think of it until we were at dinner that we should maybe take these off.
Yeah, I would get it, Andrew. It's my fault.
I'm just saying, you're ruining it, everything.
But it was just, now my reaction and your reaction were very, very different. I laughed hysterically for 10 straight minutes because the fact that we went out, bought these signs, had them, you know, had to like do some, like again, it was not an insignificant amount of back and forth with the sign company. I was going to have old Walt B. do it, but they're in Yosemite right now, and dad.
That's an interesting dynamic right there. Literally the son of a sign maker goes to Fast Signs.
I know. And so, I mean, we got it all perfect. We put it on it was like, it was so perfect. We were so excited about it. You were checking your phone as I was driving, and you were checking your phone a lot to see if anyone had seen the phone number and called it between Portland and Corvallis.
Do you remember I told you driving, I said, you know what my dream is, Luke? Yeah. At some point, we'll be driving down the highway and somebody will see the sign and it had our phone number and they'll call the TBTL listener line and they'll say, you know what? I want a podcast delivered. What is this all about? Tell me more. And I said, it'll be the perfect intro tape we can use later in the show. And I said, of course, me saying this out loud means this will probably never happen. I'm jinxing it. Good Lord, did I jinx it? I had no idea how badly I was jinxing it.
I was immediately struck by the hilarious, capricious irony of the universe when I saw that we no longer have our signs. You were, as you would say, and I'm sorry, earmuffs, Irene and Julian. You were rip shit.
I'm still rip
shit.
You were
so
mad. What do you mean, were?
You needed to take a walk.
Yeah.
I went to the hotel
room. It was a short walk. I was too angry to walk.
You said, I'm going to go take a walk. I was like, I'm going back to the hotel room. You were, like, really mad. I just thought it was hilariously ridiculous what had happened.
They were only, like, 3 hours old. The signs were so new. We never even got to play with them.
Now, it has been raised on Twitter and other places, the question as to if maybe the signs just blew off.
No.
It seems unlikely.
Those things were on there.
They really were. And also, you were talking about the dimensions earlier, okay? The kindly folks at Fast Signs said the maximum dimension you want to go is 2 feet by 2 feet. If it's larger than that, it actually can be a problem where it's not, the magnet is not strong enough to hold it on your vehicle. So we actually were going with a size that was specifically designed to stay on the vehicle.
And, well, now I'm, this is another layer of irony, I think. There was a moment where you had been taking photos of the van, and you had taken one photo of the van with the sign on it. Where did you take that photo? That was
in front of my apartment.
That was before we left Portland. So then we drove whatever the hour and a half to get to Corvallis. So that would be this was a wind factor. We'll call it the wind factor theory now. We don't have any photographic evidence that the signs were there on the van when we arrived. I tried taking a video of you driving past me really quickly. We didn't set it up. I just was outside the van for a second, and you were parking it to the new spot. And I pulled out my phone, and I took a video, and the video, Luke, was perfect. It was like perfect 5 seconds. There's no van, and then you crossed the screen perfectly.
Yeah.
I didn't hit the right button. Not
oh, no!
Not unlike me almost not having a live stream today. I didn't hit the right button. What I got instead was a video of me walking, and it's a video of my feet as I'm trying to review the video I just didn't take, that makes any sense, which it does not,
Andrew, I realize. I have some, I don't know if it's good news, but interesting news. You're always roasting me about my love of true crime shows and the First 48 and things like that, but this is where it comes in very handy. Forensic Files. I have the phone number of Colby. Colby's the manager of the Holiday Inn Express in Corvallis, Oregon.
Okay.
I was able to comb through the records and find that we checked into the hotel at exactly 5:01 p.m. yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Okay? And so
this is exciting.
If we back time this a little bit, we know that at about 4:56-ish, our van will have gone past the front entrance of the Holiday Inn Express.
Uh-huh.
Where they have a camera.
Yes.
I'm going to have Colby review the tape, send us a screenshot of if there were signs on the van when we pulled into the Holiday Inn Express.
Just to make sure, because we don't trust our memory. I feel like that video that I didn't take, is that admissible, Danny? the video that I didn't take, I remember thinking it was so cool because in my memory of it, the van went by with the sign, you know, but I don't have any evidence of it. And now, and you know me, I don't trust my brain for anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I keep trying to, in my mind, look back and go, were we just looking at the van sans the signs and we just didn't realize it? That seems like it would be unlikely because we were so excited about it. So anyway, there will be two interesting narratives this week. Are we able to actually activate the YouTube page each day? And what the hell happened to our signs? Also, if you are driving on I-5 between Portland and Corvallis and you see a large, sort of like DHL, but not exactly like DHL sign that's referencing podcasting on the side of the road, that might be ours. Could you snag it for us?
I'm going to say if you see any sign that says podcast delivery.
That's probably
chances
ours.
Chances
are good.
And if it says TBTL on it, it's most certainly ours because that's in the phone number. I like that you're taking this in a good spirit, Luke. I am not.
It makes
me very angry. But here's my question for you.
Yes.
And earmuffs again, kids. Kids everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm angry. Swears are coming out. But to the asshole or assholes.
Whoa.
Who, I'm sorry. I said earmuffs. Nobody did earmuffs.
These kids literally need earmuffs because it's freezing right now. Irene, are you okay? Golly. My hands are like numb right now. I mean, who knew? I'm sorry not to interrupt you, but you know this is not supposed to be the weather in Corvallis as we approach June because on my little jog this morning, I had to dodge like 20 sprinklers that were on timers. Like if their sprinklers are running, if people are spending money on water like businesses are, this is not supposed to also be raining. And freezing, but
no.
Anyway.
Okay, that gave me some time to clean this up a little bit.
Swearing.
I'm
going
to cut that
out of YouTube.
We'll cut it out of your memories. We have the technology. But to the butt faces.
Somehow worse.
Yeah, no, it really is. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. To the butt heads who stole these signs.
Are there any other swears that you kids were interested in learning today?
Yeah, I have a
because,
I have
this
a
is
book
apparently
I'm
Uncle
off.
Andrew's got a lot of them for you.
I kind of blame you guys. I mean, we come into your town and we're victims of property crime almost immediately. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. But you steal these signs. You're not even curious to call the number.
Right.
Like, I have no record of any calls coming in. Well, one came in this morning from another listener, and the call before that was Saturday, earlier on Saturday, before we ever put those things on the van. So whoever stole these things said, ha, 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 that's funny, podcast delivery, and there's a phone number. I'm going to steal it. A part of you doesn't just call the number to figure out what's going on?
Again, I think that these signs are now on somebody's wall, some college student, some Oregon State Beaver. And the real question becomes, will we get more promotional value out of that?
Right.
Like if it's on someone's wall for the next 10 years as they matriculate through the Oregon State University system and they have friends over, they have keggers, there's parties, maybe they get lucky. All those people seeing our sign, that could arguably be more people than would have seen it if they just stayed on the vans.
But they don't know what it is. It's just a phone number that says 206-414-TBTL, and nobody's called
it. Well, it'll say podcast delivery.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it may get more eyeballs on it as some kind of trophy in some guy named Chad's very, very dirty frat room.
What if the rest of this trip, I know that we're supposed to make our way down the coast, head over to Arizona, would you at all be interested in some sort of a Chuck Norris-esque. No, Bronson. Isn't he the revenge guy?
Yes, sure.
What if we just stay in Corvallis and this is it, man? You use your brains. We use my brawn. And let's face it, just anger. Just raw anger.
I told you.
And we find these punks.
Is this going to be your chance to finally punch someone into space?
I'm not cool with this, man. Leave our signs alone. Like, what are you doing? They were brand new. It's Thursday. Okay, fine. It's Thursday of the trip. You can take it. Like, they didn't even call the number to say, hey, are you near the end of your trip? Can we steal them now?
I think the plan was, I thought you and I would, like, autograph them and give them away at the end of the trip or something. Like, say, you know, now this is, maybe we give them to Mary the TBTL Virgin or something. I don't know what she's going to do with them. But for folks to think we're playing this up for YouTube or for the recording or for Cheryl and her family, this is exactly the dynamic that played out last night when we weren't anywhere near microphones. Andrew was this angry, and I was this just kind of goofy.
I felt like it's one of those moments when you feel violated and you kind of don't know what to do, you know, just property crime violation type of thing. And almost everybody listening probably has had something stolen or a smash and grab in their car, and that feeling of, like, you look around like, where are they? Is there, like, I went for this little walk. I didn't know what to do with my energy. I'm like, what, am I going to walk down to the river and see that they took them off and threw them into the river? Like, what am I looking for here? But all I knew is I had to look. I was expecting something.
I also told you, take a right. My theory is they went that way, which is, like based on nothing.
You're like, just get out of here. Just get out of here. Go cool your head. I was furious. And I also told Genevieve, I called her. Sorry about that. I had your music down a little bit. I was telling Genevieve on the phone, I feel like that was probably, like, if anybody had seen you and I in that moment, you probably would have gotten an idea of what you and I would have been like as teenagers. Like, your reaction to this, for some reason, you just being like, this is funny, and almost doubling over in laughter, reminded me of probably like a young Luke Burbank responding to this when something like this happens at Green Lake or on Duck Island or something. Right. And I'm just like the chubby, angry guy who's like kicking dirt and is just like so frustrated and mad.
Oh, well, you know, I guess it takes all kinds, right?
Yeah.
I'll handle it the way I handle it. You handle it the way you handle it. Maybe the way I handled it was by having an anxiety dream riddled evening, Andrew.
Yeah, what happened? I saw that you didn't have a good night's sleep, but I didn't want to ask why. I thought we could talk about it here.
I fell asleep okay, but then I woke up at like 4 a.m. thinking about all of the things that could go wrong with this trip and with this production and with the thon. And the main thing I was worried about was that you wouldn't hit play on the YouTube page. Turns out that anxiety was fairly well placed. I just woke up and started thinking about all of this stuff, that all of these little unknowns about this. And also just the fact that, you know, this is our weekly sort of chance to sing for our supper. This is the one week where we ask everybody if they could, you know, help support the show so we can keep doing this, so we can keep purchasing signs and then having them stolen within 2 hours. It's a system we have, don't question it. And I just started to feel very anxious, and I couldn't fall back asleep. I was trying to do a little box breathing.
Yep.
I was trying to do my fantasy where I beat up Donald Trump. I'm still doing that. Now it's happening at Mar-a-Lago, by the way. The narrative has shifted.
Are you really still doing that?
Yeah, but it's seriously
that
relaxes
you. It doesn't get you all worked up.
No, because the planning of how it used to be the planning of how I was going to get into the White House. Now it's the planning of how I get into Mar-a-Lago. Last night I was contemplating maybe a golf course. But then I started getting mad because I was like, how much money are we spending by way of the Secret Service for that guy to continue golfing in his post-presidential life?
He needs the Secret Service because you're going to beat him up if he doesn't have the protection.
If I figure it out, I mean, let's just say there's a chance. So I worked through all of my usual things to fall asleep, and I couldn't. Finally, I must have drifted off, Andrew, because I had a dream that you and I were flying to this for some reason, and we were on a plane, and I had a moment where when I was checking us in for the flight or on the tickets where it was like, do you want us to pick you up in a shuttle bus or a shuttle something? Because something about the plane was going to land. By the way, I rarely talk about my dreams on this show, and I'm remembering why, because they're just
you look like
not
a
that interesting.
Came to life.
I somehow had basically reserved this car that was going to pick us up. So the plane lands. I think we're like out on the tarmac. Like, it's not the kind of flight where you go right into the airport. That was why you had the option. It's like you could wait with the hoi polloi, right? Like, you could wait with everyone to get on the regular shuttle, or you could pay $5 more and you could have someone pick you up personally and whisk you away. So I opted for that, but then when the guy showed up, I looked out the window of the plane when we'd landed, and it was like a very fancy car.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, Andrew's going to be stressed about this because he's going to think, how much did this cost?
Oh,
APM.
Wow.
So I just thought we were getting a shortcut, but it was like a giant black like SUV
uh-huh.
with tinted windows.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have to just like, I'll tell Andrew I'm paying for it even though I'm actually going to expense it to APM.
Can CBS cover this?
So then they have many times. And when they find out about it, they're going to be ticked. I'm sorry, rip shit. Anyway,
Like a butthead.
I get like a classic butt face. Show title? Classic butt face? Probably not. So I get off. I deplane. Now, you're also a couple of rows behind me. I'm not in first class, but I am definitely closer to the front of the plane than you because, of course, you're like, I'm fine wherever I am. And I'm like, I am not fine anywhere I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will, but I need to be at the front of the plane so I feel some sense of superiority.
What were we saying in the car? We were talking about, like, our, just generally, this isn't related to any of the places we're staying on this trip, but just generally speaking, how you would, if you go into a hotel and you have a pretty nice room, but there's a slightly better one, of course, we know that you will say, hey, could I get the slightly better one? And my reaction is more like, oh, you guys fill the pillowcases full of horse poo? Oh, okay, cool. I'm sorry I even asked. Of course, that's fine. No, that's good. Please, please. It's the perfect amount of horse poo
so
for my head.
In between those yes. two personality types is probably the right way to be.
Right.
But
and the wrong way to rock.
So anyway, I get out of the plane and I'm walking over to the flight, but the guy who was there to pick us up is wearing a sheep costume, which now that I think of it, looks a lot like the goat costume
yes.
that John Takamoto
yes.
once wore to an event. But this is a sheep. And this guy is tripping balls. He's so high. And, like, I'm, like, trying to talk to him, and he's just giving me these weird answers that make no sense. Again, it's a dream. And, like, I just am trying to figure out what's going on with this guy because I want to figure out, like, I want to tell him where we're going. And it's just, like, he gets down on all fours and just starts wandering around, like, near the car. And I'm just like, how high are you?
And this is how your stress and your anxiety is manifesting.
Yes, it's that we are, the guy that's supposed to give us a ride to wherever we're mm-hmm. going on this trip is just out of his mind. Eventually, like, the police and ambulance have to come. He has just, like, lost it.
Jesus.
And that's when I woke up.
What is your, I mean, do we want to rank this a little bit here? Because I will say, this is a higher anxiety adventure than I think maybe I thought at first. I was wondering if we want to rank our anxieties, because the van driving, I didn't realize kind of how anxiety making that might be for both of us. You've been doing all the driving so far, as tradition
all
has
1 hour and a half of it.
Yes, but we're going to try to keep up that tradition because I'm a nervous driver, but I'll drive
if we
need to.
By the way, this thing gives you a lot of reasons to be nervous.
Yeah.
You can't really see out of the back of it.
Your steering wheel is on the right side of the car.
Which you noticed yesterday made me always want to, like, initially drift over mm-hmm. to the other lane because my body wants to be in a certain position in the lane that it's used to. But if I achieve that, it means the van is just straddling mm-hmm. the lane going down the highway.
And, you know, it doesn't go that fast. It's only supposed to go like 55 miles an hour. And so the whole time it's feeling like we're just like we're ramming the RPMs. It's like it just sounds like it's never like kicking into the gear
Easy.
It needs to be in.
People that own the van could be watching this right now. We're taking very good care
right.
of the Interstellar.
But it's just like, so there's all the van stuff, like, you know, and again, it's a great van. We love this thing, but it adds some anxiety. The live aspect of this, the fact that we're setting this up, you know, all of this equipment, it took us 2 hours to set up, and then tomorrow it's a whole new ball game. I mean, we're going to be in a totally different place. We're going to have to kind of learn this stuff from scratch.
We did
I'm pretty
have to
cranked
call.
Up right now.
We rolled up, and Cheryl was here with bearing hot coffee and this amazingly adorable little sign. It's sort of a pennant that says TBTL.
So far, this is honestly my favorite part of the trip so far.
Really ties the room together.
But
the first thing we did was we tried to unfurl this canopy, which we had seen, you know, pictures of on the website, and immediately were confused by it and had to call the woman who owns this van. And she was like, I don't know, you just twist it and it tightens. And I was like, yeah, I don't think that's going to work. And it was like we were twisting one part of it, but not the other
mm-hmm.
part. So we got off to kind of a little bit of a slow start. I also think that the reason that this trip, along with just the financial implications of hoping everyone can donate and go to tbtl.net, ding, and help support the show, it's also the fact that we have an appointment. Like, we knew we needed to be here at this particular address in Corvallis, in the Who Knows District of Corvallis, Oregon. And we needed to have that camera working, which is also technically your cell phone answer.
Yes.
We needed to have this equipment. Like, so what this is a combination. We've done thons before where we do some weird adventure. We hitchhiked a good part of the Mississippi River, but we could just record the show in the hotel room at whatever time we got there. This is the combination of both unknowns, which is like this van, how fast will it go? You know, will people steal our signs? You know, et cetera. There's a lot of unknowns around it, but then we also have these appointments that we have to hit, and we need to be broadcasting into your phone every morning at 10 a.m. West Coast. So that's, for me, the stress, is that we can't control for everything, but we also have to be where we say we're going to be doing the show.
And, you know, again, there's just a lot of technical ins and outs that to make this happen, and I was getting pretty anxious before, you know, right before we went live here. And then I got just, like, the perfect, just like, Luke, just like the perfect comedic cherry on top. I finally get everything rolling. We see that we're on YouTube. You're bumping some tunes before we're actually going to start the show. Looks, I'm literally just trying to take a breath and remember, okay, now we're done being engineer Andy. Now it's time to be host Andy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Co-host, technically.
Yeah, well, I mean, I consider, you know, first,
I mean, co-bro,
first,
actually.
First co-host.
Well, co-bro.
Co-host, first chair. I mean,
co-bro with the possibility of co-host. If things, you know, go okay.
I sit down. I'm like, okay, this is going to be fine. Let's put ourselves in the moment. I look that I have a comment waiting for me on my work Slack account.
What are you doing with that page
it's just,
open?
It's just like on the bottom of my screen. It's this, the little notification. I click on it right as you begin talking, and it's from somebody named Alex, who I've never met at American Public Media, and it just says, hey, you didn't fill out your time card last week.
Oh, would you like me to fill it out for you?
I actually was trying to fill it out now on the show, but I thought you'd get mad if I was trying to mess around.
I would get
mad
if you did that. That's a low priority.
But it was just like so perfect. I've never not filled out my time card. You only have to click like four buttons.
Yes.
It's mostly filled out for you. But of course, with everything going on, like that's the first thing I see as we do this podcast from a driveway in Corvallis, a high crime area of Corvallis.
I don't think so.
I'm just kidding.
No, Sarah. Where we were was the sign stealing district.
Yes, I'm just kidding.
We came a bit over. This is a beautiful neighborhood.
It is.
Well-manicured lawns. Neighbors who are probably perplexed at why a van has rolled up and unfurled a 1980-style boombox that is broadcasting the show to this nice family. Now, Andrew, speaking of driveways and anxieties of living in a society, and I promise the whole trip is not going to be us talking about how anxious we are. That's not true. It probably will be.
Well, my part will probably be.
Yesterday, you also had a bit of a bee in your bonnet. Your phone was pinging away, reminding you that it was time for you to start getting emotionally prepared for taking your garbage out at your house.
Oh, right, right.
But you were in Portland. Right. And so now we all hung out on Saturday night after we recorded. I'm so excited about this. This is one of the thank you gifts that we'll probably tell you about coming up. But we recorded a special, I guess they call it riff track. I just learned that term, where we watched Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, with Genevieve, my brother David, you and me, and we recorded that, and people will be able to download that, and if they want to play that while they're playing the movie, that's a fun thing.
That's anyway, for anybody who donates at any level during the TV Telethon.
So we were all hanging out on Saturday night, and I overheard a conversation between you and Genevieve where you were like coaching Genevieve up on remembering to do the garbage. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, an alarm went off on your phone about the garbage.
Well, it's just a calendar reminder. It says garbage time, 6 p.m.
Which
Sundays.
I asked you, what are the chances that you would have forgotten that if your phone didn't give a reminder? You said, well, maybe during the football games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like,
a little tuned
sometimes,
up or something.
You know, I might be watching my second football game during that season, and I've forgotten because I'm so happy that the Browns won once again. I don't know if you heard, but they're a playoff team now.
I have heard, and I'm excited for them. They're my new favorite baseball team. I've shifted allegiance. So, anyway, what's going on? Because you said there is actually there's some drama related to Genevieve having to handle the garbage at your house this week.
Okay, so let me start by explaining what the garbage situation is at my house. Just kidding. Everybody knows what the garbage situation is.
You and I were
pep-talking
each other down on our way down here. We said we got to try to do a normal show because when we're performing for a huge crowd like this,
I know.
And we're like, it's more performative, it makes me more nervous.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and then my anxiety level goes up and I shift into this other weird mode of hosting.
Mm-hmm.
And you shift into this other weird mode of co-broing with the possibility of becoming a co-host, where we just get like kind of tense. So we kept saying, let's make this like a regular show. We may have made it too much like a regular show. What's going on with your garbage?
So I didn't bring this up on the show last week because I didn't want to exhaust the listeners with a low-level garbage concern. But last week was what we call small garbage week, which means it's... Oh.
That's in your home, you call it that, right? That's city of Seattle.
Well, because let me put it this way. Big garbage day or big garbage week is when they pick up all three bins. Garbage, compost, recycling. That's every other week. The in-betweens, it's just... you know, garbage, regular garbage, landfill garbage, and the compost, which is mostly, you know, they call it yard waste, they call it compost, whatever. But it's a full-size bin, and mostly the only thing that goes in there is...
I've heard the Eskimos have over 100 names.
For the compost bin, yes. We mostly just throw our food scraps from our kitchen in there. You know, we have a little compost bin, like tin on our, you know, you can picture it on our counter, and we fill it up. And when it gets full, we take our little compostable bags and we dump it in there. It doesn't fill up that quickly. Sometimes you might throw a pizza box or five in there, depending on how your week is going. So that'll fill it up. But on the occasion that the city doesn't, like, I guess accidentally doesn't pick up that bin, I don't usually call it in. You know what I mean? I don't call the city. I don't call my landlords to file a complaint. I'm using a lot of CSI language, I feel, because we have some wiggle room on the compost bin situation, right? So last week, they skipped picking up the yard waste. I don't know why, but I was like, okay, we can work with that. It's fine. There's room in there. We can go another week with this. So we bring the bins back from the curb, and the big thing is, they can't skip it 2 weeks in a row. And today would be the second week. And I just got a text from Genevieve saying they have emptied the garbage so far. The garbage has been emptied, which is great. But the compost still has not been picked up. And it's worse because apparently, and this has never happened before, Genevieve said she went downstairs and our landlord was filling up our compost bin with some kind of yard waste.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Why you're so mad about the signs.
I didn't know about this.
You're transferring
this is all new.
Your
no,
anger.
No, I was mad about the sign. This is just all layers upon layers upon layers.
I thought the garbage was here to pick up your guys. That's tomorrow for you, right?
Tomorrow morning is garbage day for the Churchek family, and so you got to get those bins out to the curb tonight. You guys, do you have a plan for it?
Have you set any kind of outlook alarm?
Okay.
Who's that? How much of that falls on you, Julian, to take care of? Most of it, probably.
Julian,
sort of
take
a Lance situation.
Now?
Okay. All right. What are you going to do? Obviously, the trip's over, so I just take the van from here and you fly back?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably I can maybe rent a car. I'll tell Genevieve I can be there by sundown, and then we can take care of this. I don't know.
Did she tell your landlord? Stop?
I don't know. I got the text message. I mean, we're using my phone to stream this video. So I'm trying to get the video stream going, and I see that I get a text message from Genevieve saying that Steven has been using our compost and they haven't picked it up yet. And I couldn't respond because I'm just trying to use it as a streaming camera function. And I also don't have it here with me now, so I can't just scroll my text messages. I don't want to, you know, do anything that would mess up the feed. So I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll figure this out, though.
Well, that's a perfect time for me to mention, Andrew, that you know, this is a fairly lean operation that we're running here. This is, of course, a show that is being broadcast on Andrew's actual cell phone, and so of course it only exists because of you, the tens of listeners, helping to support the show. And so we want to thank some of our dazzling donors. These are folks who've been supporting the program. Is my computer playing any sound for you?
I'm not seeing it, but you know what? It just occurred to me. Am I supposed to play the Dazzling Donor music? This is me
I was
falling down.
No, I was excited. I had some special music
from
Cheryl and the fam here. A little Kiffness music for you.
Oh, no. I don't know what's happening. We were hearing your drops before.
Okay,
sorry, everybody.
Okay, we'll cut this all out.
Yeah, he said we'll cut this all out of the live stream.
No. You know what it is? I turned down Spotify earlier. I'm sorry. This never happens. I am so embarrassed. This is what I was trying to do. Yeah, okay. This is apparently the most popular music for parrots to wiggle to.
is the
word on the street.
Hugging all the animals and veggies like a vegan. All the misery.
This is pretty great. This could be our new dazzling donor.
All right.
Let me see here. I've got the sheet somewhere.
Are you looking for the actual dazzling donors, or do you want to talk about what we're doing out here?
Where do you want to start?
I'm wondering, did I send you the dazzling donors? This is
you
a conversation that
them.
Luke and I have every day off air. Because I usually try to schedule an email to you. I schedule emails now. That's where my that's where my life is going.
No, so, I have it here, but okay, you know what? Let's actually start by talking about the TB Telethon 12 contentless delivery, which I feel like we're doing a great job of today. We rolled up to these people's house. We drank their free coffee. We're displaying their beautiful art behind us. Big thanks, by the way, Julian and Irene, for that.
So
I don't know,
cool.
Lance, if you did one of those, but those are pretty dope, too.
They're very awesome. And Luke, can I just say one thing to you really quickly?
Yeah.
And I'm saying this to you as my friend, and I would say this to
that's
you off-air.
Always a bad,
and
that's
I want to
always
say, no,
a bad
no,
sign.
I think this is good. I just want to say, we are 42 minutes into the show. As much as I've been kind of babbling and stuttering out of nervousness, I think generally speaking, we have delivered 40 good minutes of TBTL.
You feel like that?
I do. I do feel that way. I feel like you're in your head a little bit because you just had two tiny technical snafus and you're going to judge everything based on like 20 seconds of that. Please
no, this
don't
trip
do
is
that.
Ruined.
This has been great. This has been a lot of fun, and I think that we're delivering what people want, which is zero content.
Let's talk about the thank you gifts that we have for folks out there who are able to support TBTL. You're sort of the master of coin.
I'm the master
of Bitcoin, and boy, I took a beating last week, Andrew.
Can you hear that? It's starting to rain harder.
This is when I channel my inner prince.
Yes,
can you make it rain harder? Shout out to this canopy that is keeping the rain off of us, and also. Keeping hopefully the equipment mostly dry. Anyway, Andrew, what do we have for folks who are going to be able to donate to TBTL this year during the thon?
So, first of all, everybody keep an eye out for emails coming into your inbox or go to tbtl.net and click the donate button and you'll see what your options are there. I know a lot of folks are already kind of signed up to give year over year, and if you're one of those people, keep an eye out for those emails and you'll learn how you can get those gifts for yourself. And we've been talking about this a lot. We hope that you're mostly going to give to TBTL because you want to make sure that we can keep on doing the show day in and day out. We're not like trying to QVC this with the stuff we're giving away, but my God, it's hard not to QVC this,
yeah,
Luke.
Man.
I am so excited about the sound machine. This is the little blue handheld sign machine that is custom made for TBTL listeners.
Sound machine.
What did I say?
Sign machine, which we could use, by the way, because we're down exactly two signs.
This song goes out to all the coffee lovers of the world.
They have 16 custom TBTL drops. You can do your own podcast. The only problem here is everybody's going to get this. Then they don't need us anymore.
Now, let's talk, Andrew, about the one, I don't want to say downside because this is probably fun for the listeners, but the one possibly maddening thing about the sound box is if your voice is actually one of the things on it.
That is me.
And it is in your backpack and you are driving Luke's car trailing the Delica van as we got it from the folks we rented it from. What happened? This thing was just going crazy in your backpack?
So I already said I'm generally speaking kind of a nervous driver when I'm driving other people's vehicles. And you have a nice car, and you were driving the Delica, and I had to drive your car back to your apartment. So I'm a little bit nervous. It's a bigger car than I usually drive. And I'm just, you know, hands at, what is it?
10 and 2,
you know, being very careful. No radio on. I also couldn't figure out how just to turn on the radio in your car. How do you do that? Is it a computer
It doesn't
thing?
Have a radio.
No, really?
No. I don't know.
I almost believed you because I couldn't figure that out. But anyway, so I was like, don't mess around. Just like get this. Just don't dent up Luke's car. Let's not begin the trip that way. Let's begin with some property crime. So I'm driving your car a little nervously. And every time I hit a little bump, my backpack, my overly full backpack is kind of in the passenger's floor side. Mm-hmm. And every time I hit a little bump, I hear that marsupial. I hear that. That's my voice making a weird noise that has been isolated and now turned.
Don't miss the sausage fest.
That's also just good life advice.
That happened to me in the lobby today.
No joke.
Swear in the hotel lobby, I moved my bag and this rang out. Don't miss the sausage fest. But every time I hit a bump, I mean, like constantly, it was like remixing. It was like the whole way.
You know what, Andrew? I have to say this. Okay, so this little sound machine is modeled after the sound machine that I've been using for years.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's interesting, though, is this sound machine can be a little challenging at times because if you are playing a sound effect like this clapping, you can't do anything until the sound is done. But the TBTL sound machine, you can play it. Listen to this.
I say, what's up, dog?
That is a cool design element.
I like it.
Thing.
And that's what I was hearing, the marsupial gurgle remix right back at me while I was driving your car. There it is.
Okay.
Anyway,
well,
so that can be yours.
If this podcasting thing doesn't work out, I do think I will have a career as a DJ.
Yeah, so anyway, so we have that, and we also have a really cool retro igloo-style cooler that says TBTL on it, and so if you're starting to socialize again, but you're still trying to maybe do it safely, you can go to a park or what have you. Everybody, we mentioned this before, everybody who donates at any level will get access to that three-hour, as you say, riff track that we recorded.
See if you can find the point at which Luke got a little drunk.
It's about 2 minutes in. Finally, Luke, how am I blank? Oh, the pins! Our friend Gigi made these wonderful pins again, and now it's like the third year in a row we're doing it, and they represent various drops.
Well, we've got a hot dog that says...
I'll say,
what's up, though? That's a hot dog,
You know, the irony is, I have all of these audio drops in my computer, but I'm just obsessed with playing them on this box.
It's fun!
So we've got a hot dog pin that says, what up, dog? We've got a pin that says, let the fun begin. Is that this one?
Let the fun begin.
Oh, remix.
We the best. and then what's the other one?
Let's see. Let the fun begin. And what's up, dog?
And power out.
Power out, of course. Yeah. Thank you. Sorry, I should have written that down, shouldn't I have? Sorry,
we've
about
got
that.
It now. So anyway, those pins, people love those things. It's like a whole collection now.
Right,
it's a whole galaxy of those pins that we've been doing.
And if you don't mind me saying this, just to maybe minimize the QVC-ness of this a little bit, although I am excited about that stuff, is
1101. that one just got me, Odell. It looks like we may need surgery in the studio. Wait. I was fusing together the characters that were involved in that QVC moment. But anyway, continue.
But anyway, and I think we say this a lot, but it's always around this time of the year when I start reflecting about TBTL and the specialness and all the weirdness that led us here, you and I as a team and the listeners and the community. And I think, I've been getting some more, I think maybe wistful is the wrong word, but contemplative emails and voicemails from listeners saying, what TBTL has meant to them, just as companionship, and especially during this past ongoing pandemic, this past over a year now, a lot of people were kind of relying on this podcast, I think even more than ever, for a bit of normalcy. And I'm not trying to pat ourselves on the back, but it is really, really sweet to hear that, and it's something that I can associate with other things in my life as well. So I hopefully, you get the sound machine and everything, but really what it's about is like hopefully keeping this going for, well, at least until the wind blows down this tarp.
Yes, which I'm amazed that we made it 46 minutes. I believe that's the local street sweeper.
Nice. You guys have street sweeper.
Yeah, man.
Nice.
It's a very, very well-kept, very well-manicured neighborhood.
It really is a beautiful neighborhood. This is like my perfect neighborhood.
Okay. Andrew, would you mind queuing up the Dazzling Donor music now?
We want some of this Dazzling Donor music.
I want to be dazzled by this music while we thank the folks who... These are people that donated during last year's thaw. We just have a few more names on our list to read. Okay. So let's thank...
On your mark.
Get set.
Now ready.
Ready.
Go.
Everybody rattle.
Let's thank Linder Peacock,
who's
in Portsmouth, Rhode Island. I know the Dazzling Donor segment is to thank listeners like me. Because, of course, I mean, if you're listening to this or watching it on YouTube, you probably know what the deal is. But, of course, folks that are doing a Dazzling Donation, we just basically say, send us a message. We'll promote whatever it is, charity or business you want to. Or you just want to talk about, I don't know, the weather. More on that coming up, by the way. World's Funniest Weather. Not a good TV show. Not even funny. But Linder is choosing to turn it back around and thank you for doing the show. Andrew, Luke, APM, and the tens of unpaid consultants and producers. You're a necessary part of my life. Here I am, 10-plus years in, still a little surprised about how I rely on, benefit from, and continue to make friends through this podcart. Talking to you, Maggie Toosie. There are at least twos of them, and the other is Middle Shelf. The tens reach out with advice, condolences, necessary ribbing, and congratulations more than some of the people I live near or work with. Heck, the newsletter makes my day on the regular.
Aww.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Oh,
we're kind of crying. Some of that's from the cold, Linder, but a lot of it's from this message. That's so nice. Linder says, my thanks to you all. Yeah, even the fact that we're in Cheryl and Lance's driveway right now as they... I've now had to wrap blankets around the children who are still frickin' freezing. The fact that when we set out on this journey, we were like, immediately people came to mind. Like, Cheryl, you came to mind immediately. We were like, okay, Cheryl and Corvallis, we want to stop there because you've been so awesome to us. And being a friend of the show, giving us those amazing gift baskets, which I still am pulling things out of. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll be like, oh, God, I need a mini-to-mini. Yeah. I need a thumb drive. It's like in that basket, you know? And just like all the folks along the way that were going to be, other than Mary the TBTL Virgin.
Yeah.
The goal of this really is to try to convert her over to a P1 if we can.
I think so, yeah.
But everybody
or
else.
Possibly co-host. Well, on a tenure track.
Yeah, exactly. Play your cards right, you'll still be above her on the flow chart.
We'll see.
But yeah, just thinking about all these amazing tens that we're going to get to see socially, distantly, and safely along the way is really heartwarming and kind of a great reminder that that's what this whole thing is about. So anyway, thanks very much, Linder, for being a part of that crew and for supporting the show. Maestro?
On your mark.
On your mark.
Get set.
Get set.
Now ready.
Ready.
Go. Everybody rattle.
Oh, we've also got a thank and ank. Ian Seafelt, who's in Superior, Wisconsin.
He sure is.
Is this the time, Andrew, where we mention that this van we're driving has, I think, a very... I mean, if we didn't get our signs stolen in Corvallis, they were going to get stolen when we got to California. There's a sticker on the window of this van that says Oregon is above California.
And we got to drive this through California.
And we're driving through California with a bumper with a sticker on the window that's basically, I thought of that because of Superior, Wisconsin.
You think
Wisconsin has a problem with Superior, Wisconsin naming themselves that?
Madison is not happy about this.
Ian is in Superior, Wisconsin. He says, I really have no idea what to say. You know, Ian, I don't let that stop me from hosting this show 5 days a week. I have nothing to promote, nothing to ask of the tens, and nothing inspirational, but I do have a song request and nomination for Song of the Summer. I don't have any story or reason anyone should like it. I listen to a lot of music at work, and I like to listen to non-English language music because I get distracted less. That's an interesting...
That is interesting.
You know what I have found happening... just recently is that my brain cannot listen to, like, the distraction factor of certainly, like, public radio. If I'm trying to get ready for our show, it used to be, I mean, like, up to 6 months ago, Morning Edition is just playing, and I'm walking around the house getting ready, and then I'm also on my computer putting our show together. Right now, my brain has started to get to where I can't have that going on in the background. It's distracting.
I've never been able to do that. That's why often, like, I'll put on a jazz record or something when I'm on deadline, especially when I was working in a newsroom.
Do you want to trade
the jazz
containers? Because, Cheryl said Stryker is more of a jazz man, which I took as a high compliment.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got the KMHD jazz radio coffee thing. Do you want to switch?
No, I'm good. Do you have anything that says Money Jungle on it? Because that's the record I always listen to
You never miss a chance to mention Money Jungle.
But honestly, though, that's not a joke. That is, I think the reason why is because I was working, I think Money Jungle might be available somewhere as a full track on YouTube. So I think it was when I was working at KCRW or something like that, where I just got in the habit of when I needed to block out everybody else, I would just put on my headphones and go to that link. And so now I always think, you would think that Money Jungle would give me anxiety now, right? That album, because I think of it as deadlines, but it's too good.
Do you want me to start playing it when you're setting up the camera tomorrow?
I think you should, yes.
9:57. I was trying so hard to not add to your stress because I'm like, this guy is doing everything that he can. Me being stressed is not going to help. But I was like, on Monday, are we really going to not be able to broadcast this? That would have been classic TBTL.
We also got here a half hour earlier than we had originally planned. Aren't you glad?
But I said that to you earlier, so I was glad.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. No, on the air, did you already say that?
No, I said it to you off air. That's why I try to keep our real conversation. This is all an act.
I
have real heart-to-heart, heartfelt conversations with you. I like to keep that private.
What about a Seafelt conversation?
Well, that was, I think, why my brain just went to heartfelt because of Ian's name. Ian continues, this is a remix by Lab. I'm going to assume that is a band. It's a funk collaboration between M-Flow and Kelmico. Oh, of course, that's what that
is. Right.
That's what I was thinking.
You don't have to mansplain it to us.
Don't lab-splain this to me,
don't
Ian.
Lab-splain
also,
it
here is the song as it was originally released. This one is not a remix. If you like this version better, go ahead and play it. Whatever you feel like doing. Or just skip the whole thing. I did send in my email very late this year.
We're going to play the original one. So we'll play it at the end of the show. So So the song is Runaways. Is this correct? And it's a Lab Funk remix?
I'm going to assume so. I don't actually have that information on my page. But
okay.
So that's Ian's request. We'll go out with that. And it was funny before the show, before things got really stressful before the show, we were like just bumping some of that parrot music. And it was like, and I told Cheryl, I was like, turn it up. And the kids are like dancing in the house. And it's like everybody's vibing. Lance is just feeling it. And then like, Lance threw up like glow sticks, which was crazy. Just like when the beat dropped. And like,
I think Lance is on Molly right now. Don't tell the kids.
You looked over, Andrew, and you're like, typical Monday stuff. It is like bumping, whatever that.
I didn't even notice that. You know me, I get very myopic, like when I'm working on technical stuff under a tight deadline like that. I meant just what you and I are trying to do. I just meant like, here we are. Like, I'm just like, I'm trying to see if I can get a video stream up so we can do a podcast from a driveway. We've never done this before.
Is this still working, by the way? Is this still on the internet?
Yeah, is everybody seeing it? Okay, good.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Is it still funny? I'm getting a thumbs down. What does that mean?
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
You actually found this yesterday, Andrew. The Gazette Times here in Corvallis seems to be a pretty cool local newspaper. I see a lot of like Gazette Times boxes, and
yeah,
I love that it's still happening. You know, there are so many smaller publications that have kind of gone the way of the dodo bird. They have apparently a regular column that's called Roses and Raspberries.
I love this.
And it starts, this is what's great, in case you're unclear on, you know, the definition or the, what would you call it? The, not methodology, but the point is they define what a rose is. One of the most beautiful of all flowers, a symbol of fragrance and loveliness, often given as a sign of appreciation. So that's a rose. And then they say a raspberry is a sharp, scornful comment, criticism, or rebuke. A derisive splatting noise, often called the Bronx cheer. So I'll tell you who's getting some roses here in Corvallis. Harry Lagerstedt and his trusty horse, Buck. Lagerstedt is a 95-year-old Navy vet and frequent participant in Albany's Veterans Day Parade. He's the sponsor of Buck, a wooden steed that is destined for service in the Albany Historic Carousel, and one of several volunteers who participated in carving the animal. So this guy, Andrew, and by the way, this dude, Harry Lagerstedt, could definitely take either of us in a fight.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
Not you if he stole your signs.
Yeah, no. Do you think he stole our signs?
Oh, my God. Everyone's a suspect.
Everybody's a suspect. This guilty is like, until proven innocent.
He looks
innocent.
Like some, that's some real Jack LaLanne stuff. It looks like he's ready to swim, pulling a boat in his teeth. 95 years old. This guy is fit as a fiddle. It's got to be from carving these wooden horses that are going to go on the carousel.
And where's the carousel, or what is the carousel? Do we know?
It's the Albany Historic Carousel, which I assume is Albany, Oregon. How far is that from here, ish? 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
So he's been helping out with that. Like any labor of love, carving Buck has been a time-consuming process. 10 years and counting, Andrew.
10 years.
Dude's been carving that wooden horse for the carousel for 10 years.
Now I'm less impressed.
That's optimistic.
Really?
He started at 85.
I'm
shutting her down at like 60. 85 years old. He was like, okay, what is this, a 10-year project? Yeah, better start it now. And he's still going strong. Let's see here. This is kind of funny from the Gazette Times. They said, it's 10 years and counting. We hope it won't take too much longer.
Yeah, right? He's the George R.R. Martin of wood horses.
And also, you know, we never know how long we're going to be here. Like,
exactly.
Harry, we're all rooting for you to get this horse done.
Right, like maybe don't carve every single little hair of the horse.
Let's just get the broad strokes down. Langerstedt's 96th birthday is in August, by the way.
Wow.
So he gets a rose from both the Gazette Times and us, which is pretty awesome.
I love that.
Let's see, more roses. Did they give raspberries?
I'm worried about the raspberry. Is it going to
Here's one thing that's kind of a little confusing.
That didn't
make sense. This may be a typo, but they actually gave a roseberry to something. Look at that.
A roseberry.
Which, is that a thing?
It sounds like a soda I would like.
Okay, good. Well, this is why, Andrew, we take the time to get in the van and come down here to Cheryl and Lance and their driveway is because I thought roseberry was just a typo, but a roseberry is kind of on the line, basically.
Oh, there's things to like, there's things to dislike. So it's a nuanced world.
They're giving a roseberry to the cancellation of the Benton County Fair and Rodeo for the second straight year. Even though vaccination rates in the county are high and the COVID-19 pandemic is showing signs of winding down at long last, we still think pulling the plug was probably the right call. Despite the fact that the event is still a few months away, it's too soon to say if it could be held safely. We'll miss the tribute bands, the bucking horses, the carnival rides, and the gloriously unhealthy fair food. God, I'm hungry again.
I know.
We ate a lot last night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did. I ordered like one of most of the things on the menu that didn't have meat in them.
Mm-hmm.
But now, fair food. Got that on the mind.
What is your fair food? Do you mind if I ask? Like, what do you crave most? You don't seem like a sweets man. You're not like, you're not craving
funnel cake and all that. Yeah, it's not really. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I can appreciate that stuff tastes good. But if I'm thinking about fair food, I'm thinking about, you know, some kind of a curly fries, a giant, like, ridiculously large, like, thick, not thicket, but like, what do you call that? When it's all just kind of.
It's
like
all
a knot.
Like, yeah, right.
Like
a knot of curly fries.
A knot of curly fries.
Right, yeah.
I'm into that. What about you?
You know, it's funny. When I love curly fries, just full stop. But when I think of fair food, I tend to think of those fries that I don't usually prefer in other situations where they're thin, straight fries, but often one side of it will still have a little skin on it, and you get them in a cup. Can you picture this?
Yes, yes.
And the cup, I think, also has pictures of those fries on the outside,
yes.
So it looks like it's getting your fingers greasy, but it's not. I think of that right away. That's a big deal. And also, you know me, I go for the case meats. So, or cased meats, I should say. So, you know, I'm going to be sniffing out some sausages if there's
also,
a Washington State Fair this year.
On the subject of which, I mean, we just started this trip. So we haven't really gotten into the like road food situation, but do we need to make a Landjäger stop for you?
I wonder. Did you bring any snacks? I've brought no.
Cheryl's
snacks.
Cheryl's waving over there. Cheryl, probably being the incredibly thoughtful person she is, maybe has some. I don't know, something for you.
You got like a 48 pack of hot dogs for the trip down to Sacramento?
yeah, we got to figure out the food plan, the road food plan. Oh, look at that.
Oh, what is this?
That looks like a Landjäger.
Oh, this is the brand. This is a Bavarian. You don't have to bring it here now. Is that a Bavarian brand?
Cheryl, just take it out of the package and throw it in his direction. He'll catch it. He'll catch it like a seal.
I'll catch it in my mouth, and then I'll crawl under the table and eat it.
You know what? I'm going to give a raspberry. By the way, they gave a raspberry to the Linn County Board of Commissioners for putting up barriers for teens who want to get vaccinated against COVID-19. They're not happy with any kind of. Extra hurdles that somebody would have to clear to get vaccinated, which I'm giving a raspberry to that, too. We need to make that as... Do you know that they just did this in Oregon? They just started a lotto?
No.
If you get vaccinated, you're entered in the lotto.
Oh.
Like you win money.
New York is doing that. In Ohio, of course, had
Mike
a really
DeWine
big prize in Ohio first, and now New York, can I say I would like to give... a raspberry the person who decided
to steal our signs.
Well, to steal our signs, but also that raspberry is a negative thing because when you say raspberry, I immediately think of raspberries. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite fruits. Yes, one of my favorite fruits, and I'm not joking. I love to get like kind of a fruit salad-y thing that has both raspberries and blueberries in it, and then the blueberries fit perfectly right into the little hole in the raspberry, and you pop that. I love raspberries, is my point. And now we have this negative connotation. Why couldn't it be like, what's a fruit we don't like? Like a banana.
Kiwi? No offense.
Kiwi. I mean, I was sort of thinking kiwi, too, honestly.
I mean,
honestly.
Peace and love to our listeners in Australia and New Zealand. But
I like them.
Yeah, they're great. Those kind of kiwis, the folks in New Zealand, they're great.
Yeah.
But the actual kiwi is not something that I'm ever like, oh, God, I hope they have kiwi as part of this fruit plate.
Oh, speaking of that part of the world, do you happen to remember the name of that fruit that we were supposed to try when we were in Australia that, like, you cut it open?
Durian.
Durian. People flee entire towns if you crack one of those open.
Yeah, like, I think people have been, like, kicked off of airplanes for having it and stuff.
So let's call it a durian. Let's give it a durian.
Yes.
I'm giving a durian to the people who stole our signs.
Nice. I like that. Well, I'm going to give a big durian to the television show called World's Funniest Weather, which I started watching last night.
Can I say that I don't even know where you're going with this. I have no idea what this is. But at the top of the show, you said it's even worse than the name. I will say where I am right now, coming into the story innocently, I love that name. That name holds so much promise to
me. Well, that's a good point. Maybe I misstated it. You know, I was dealing with a lot at the top
of
the
show. Oh, I'm
sorry.
I'm not criticizing. We have a long road trip ahead of us. Let's start fighting around Wednesday or Thursday or whenever it's on the schedule.
I guess what I meant to say was the name is actually fairly tantalizing. I was watching the local news here in Corvallis. I love local news in smaller cities.
Uh-huh.
It just makes me endlessly happy to watch, and I don't know why. I just I also love newspapers in smaller towns, too. It's just there's something, I don't want to say quaint because that sounds like big city burbs swinging in and going, oh, but get a load of this Corvallis TV. But the Fox station, they're very, very, very clear that it's locally owned. They really want to let you know that Fox Corvallis is locally owned.
That's good. I like that.
I'm into it. So I was watching the news. It was great. Then the news was over. And then it's like, world's funniest weather. And I was like, what does that even mean? Like, if someone gets rained on? How do you have a whole show?
Right.
About funny weather.
I don't know.
You don't.
Oh, that's a bummer, though.
There
I
was
want it.
Zero. The closest thing to weather content was. So, first of all, the first like 10 things that happen are people just poning their nuts while skateboarding. Sorry, kids. Like, it's just your typical blooper video, someone hurting themselves.
But, like, in the rain?
Nope. Just hurting themselves.
Are you sure there wasn't black ice involved?
I was looking for it because I was obsessed with figuring out how are you going to deliver on this promise of funny weather.
And it's definitely W-E-A-T-H-E-R. It's not
weather.
Weather?
Shrug emoji. I was like, is this just like what constitutes funny weather?
Like, I don't know.
Like a lightning bolt's going to come down next to someone. They're not going to be hurt. Because the other thing about weather. When weather is notable, it's usually a bad thing.
It's very not funny. It's, yeah.
So exactly. I'm like, well, okay, Byron Allen, what do you have for me? Because I looked it up. This is a Byron Allen production. Byron Allen is a very interesting person, actually. He's a media mogul now, but he's also the guy behind Byron Allen's Comics Unleashed.
Should I know this?
It's like you got to be watching TV at a certain hour of the night, and it's like a round, I mean, they may have suspended it for the pandemic, but it's like a round table of comics.
Okay.
And it's basically just like a chance to tee up jokes for them. But it's like there's a studio audience. But somebody, one of my friends or somebody I know who was on it once said, there's just never an environment where comics are more leashed than on Byron Allen's Comics Unleashed. Because it's just supposed to be this free-for-all, but it's like so staged. It's so set up. It's so produced. Anyway, he has this whole empire of these, like, I would say, not super high-quality shows. But, I mean, he's a billionaire off of this stuff. Anyway, the only thing that happened in World's Funniest Weather that was even in the neighborhood of weather was there was a weathercaster who had the, like, 10-day forecast, and somebody had just keyed in the wrong temperature, and one of the days said 150 degrees.
Oh, that's so funny.
And he was like, oh, that's not right. And then he,
laughed. That's an incorrect typo.
And then he laughed for, like, a minute. That was the only weather-related content that I saw during World's Funniest Weather was a guy, and it was a matter of someone just having typed in like an extra zero.
I'm really racking my brain here on the spot for anything that could even be funny weather. I'm thinking, like, could it be rainbow-related? I mean, rainbows aren't funny, but at least they're not, like, dangerous or scary.
Right.
Like, maybe it's like, we got to the end of the rainbow and there's no gold. Blah, blah.
Yeah. And then someone caught that on a video, like somebody caught that on their phone. And because, you know, it's just, all this is like cell phone footage or maybe a security cam.
Right.
Like, I don't think there's enough funny weather to do a 5-minute TV show called World's Funniest Weather.
I don't think so. I mean, sometimes it's surprising and exciting when in the middle of the day, the skies just go super dark and it starts sleeting in Seattle for like 2 minutes and then it just clears up again. I mean, again, listen, I'm not saying this is great comedy. I'm just saying it's a little bit funnier than somebody falling on a skateboard. That's not related to weather at all.
Exactly. There's this drop we play all the time. And that's somebody.
That's kind of funny.
That is kind of funny. It was
funny how loud I had that turned up.
It was a woman. Well, I'm all over the map here. You know, that woman had set up, I believe, a camera to try to, like, film some lightning. And then it struck near her. So she wasn't hurt. She got freaked out by the lightning. That's it. That's the one. This right here. This is the one World's Funniest Weather that's ever happened. What, flooding?
I mean, what
the notoriously hilarious phenomenon of flooding?
What if it's a cart? I want to make it very clear. A cartoon cat or a toon cat, if you want to shorten that a little bit, getting hit by electricity, and you can see the entire skeleton of the cat for a second, and its hair goes kind of like
that's funny. But see, did somebody catch it on a cell phone?
Right.
What if you were watching World's Funniest Weather and it literally just cuts to a Tom and Jerry clip? which one's Tom and which one's Jerry?
Tom is the cat. Tom cat, right?
Oh, okay. So, like, wouldn't it be great if they're like, world's funniest weather? I'm like, how are they going to pull this off? And then just a cartoon of Tom getting like, struck by lightning.
World's funniest cartoon weather. We may be onto something there, actually. Let's give
Byron Allen.
Let's give him a run for his money.
I am very, again, I'm just really disappointed that that's what they went with. I wonder if the reason they went with world's funniest weather is because the plan behind this television show, it's a half hour long. The plan is for it to run after local newscasts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's when I saw it, on a Sunday night at
sure.
at 10:30 or whatever. And so they wanted to seem vaguely newsy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you just heard the weather forecast for Corvallis, and now we have world's funniest weather. Like, yeah. It just seems like a fit. I understand that from a branding standpoint or for how they position it, but, like, they did not deliver on the promise
I
of
know.
Any funny weather. So you just, I mean, is that it? We just live in a world of just alternate facts and, you know? You know what I mean? Like, honestly.
This is what got you there.
I know. Right? This is the thing that's bothered me. Not the recount in Arizona. Not the
voter suppression laws
in Georgia. Not people
who are
barricading themselves in the chambers of the House during the insurrection, but now say it was a normal day.
But
none of that.
Is this the world we live in?
It's Byron Allen lying about whether if he has enough clips for worlds. By the way, this was one episode I watched, Andrew. There are like 50 episodes of this show.
Do you think if we go back and we watch the very first one in the archive, do you think it's like really on point? It's like a bunch of really funny weather, and they're just
they
like
just ran out of clips.
This pilot was great, and then it's like we're out of funny weather.
I forgot to tell you one other thing about World's Funniest Weather that totally didn't make sense to me. It starts with some clips of people hurting their nads. Then it goes to this just like video piece of this woman who's bird watching. She's on a set.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like bird watching, and she keeps looking for the birds, and she can't see them through her binoculars, and they keep pooping on her.
That's kind of funny. No?
I don't know if it's weather related.
It's raining poop.
But this thing is,
I'm trying to make this work. It's raining poop.
I think you're onto something, though. I think that it started like they got a clip of funny, they got like a trove of funny weather clips.
Uh-huh. They're you like, know, oh man, this could last
they
forever.
They just didn't like, they didn't think it through. They're like, can we do 30 episodes of this? So it's this woman. The other thing to me is if, like, you're shooting a fictionalized thing, like if you have an actor portraying something, doing jokes, so she just keeps looking up with her binoculars, and then birds will poop on her, and then she'll look up again. She's like, I can't see any birds. And then she'll look up, and then they'll poop on mm-hmm. her more. If you're going to do that, now, first of all, that's not even a clip. Like, it's not even like...
You know what? I think I missed the fact that this wasn't cinema verite.
No!
I know you said that, and I blanked that part out because
no.
I didn't want to believe
it. If it was a person...
It.
Oh, are you kidding me? A person getting
I thought it was really
a bird,
a bird
in
watcher
life?
Getting assaulted by bird poop.
I would
this was
die
a
for
skit.
That.
This was
it
a...
It was a skit. That's what I'm saying. They did a skit.
Oh,
that's
I'm
how
sorry.
Thin they were on
I
content.
Really missed the point
the
there. My apologies.
And the skit wasn't even weather related.
That's why you looked at me. I'm like, well, that's kind of funny, and I was missing the damn point.
No, if a real person getting pooped on is always funny. Unquestionably. This was, they went out of their way to shoot a skit, and then it itself, like, have her almost get struck by lightning. If we're faking it, have that be the weather piece.
It feels a little like, what was the we talk about it all the time, and of course I'm blanking on it, the Cashman show, the Seattle local comedy thing.
Sure, a little bit Almost Live.
Was it
then,
like a really bad Almost Live skit, sort of?
I mean, so much worse than anything that would have ever been on Almost Live. Uh-huh. I mean, it almost looked, I was surprised that it was in English. It almost reminded me of those, like, Red Bull commercials. Not that
it was
animated.
Yeah, okay,
but, you know, Red
yeah.
Bull's whole business approach is, we'll make ads that are so non-specific to country that you can throw any language under them,
uh-huh.
or you can show them without any dialogue, and uh-huh. people will understand it from Madagascar to Michigan. This was almost like so lowbrow from a comedic standpoint
uh-huh.
that you could just play it anywhere.
Uh-huh.
But
I actually think that, we can't talk about commercials because Genevieve will be mad at us, but I actually think that that is a pretty genius strategy.
Yeah, you need to stay on her good side, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
So
I want to
handle this garbage
situation.
I keep
instinctively going to grab my phone out of my pocket to see what the latest is, but I can't. It's filming us right
yes.
now.
Yes. Okay, well, that's good. That's why we need to keep using your phone so that you're not distracted.
I got to fill out my timesheet. All right. Are we ready for some?
I'm trying
drops
to play the drops
of the
stupider here. What's going on? Why is my computer being weird?
I have a feeling this one could be my fault, but I don't see how.
Oh no! You know what? It's me again. I can't be trusted with any of these volumes, Andrew. You guys, you're getting to see way behind the curtain, both the Churchick family et al. And the people on YouTube, because normally I do this all the time, and then Andrew cuts it out. So here we go. Drops of stupider. The deuce, round three.
That's just absolute stupidity.
Just gets the energy level up. We have some neighbors who are approaching on nice. The sidewalk. We are set up.
How are you feeling on the anxiety level with all of this, by the way? the slightly outward facing nature of what we're doing. In other words, the thing that's been another point of stress for me has been embarrassment about people who don't know what we're doing, just kind of observing
it. Mm-hmm.
And I'm feeling less weird than I thought I was going to feel.
I honestly
think it's the penance that Cheryl made us.
Yes.
It looks kind of official.
And you know, I'm Catholic, so I love penance.
Heyo.
Hey, see? We got to share this with the world. Now, that aspect of things doesn't bother me too much right now. I just have too much to worry about. Like,
we
are streaming on YouTube. People are hearing us. They're commenting in the chat bar. It looks like I'm recording. Okay. This is going to be an actual podcast. Like, if we get the podcast
out. This is the real one? I thought this was the practice.
Oh, we're going to do one in the van later.
Okay, good.
It's going to be you and me eating elephant ears.
Oh, one quick thing too. I think folks, maybe I mentioned this before, people kind of know this, but we love to play the It's Your Lucky Day drop, of course. And so
it's your lucky day. You just found a USB flash drive in the parking lot.
The plan is after the show actually gets on the internet. Can I say this, Andrew? Am I spoiling anything?
No. This is why we do it.
Andrew's going to put this episode of the show on a thumb drive and give it to you guys. So we'll be hand delivering the show on a thumb drive to each household that we visit on this trip.
That would have been very clear if we had a sign on the van that said podcast delivery, but unfortunately...
We do, though, have some great art, thankfully, now.
We really do.
We'll bring that
really
along.
Do. Thanks, Irina
Julian. Hopefully just build this kind of, you know, this will become like anything that we pick up along the way that seems interesting, we'll start taping to the van when we do
the
show.
We will take it off when we're driving, just in case. You're going to call that security expert?
I'm going to call the manager of the Holiday Inn Express.
He's a security expert.
Colby. And I'm going to get a still shot. Again, I'm so excited about this, Andrew, because it's what always happens in all of my crime shows. Like First 48 in particular, they do a lot of security cam stuff. And like I've never had anything in my real life yet where I've been like, if I can just get them to find that part of the security camera, I will know the answer to the question. And this is, I'm finally getting to put my true crime watching skills to use.
They're not going to have to use a black light in the van, are they? Is that something they do on those shows?
I mean, this van's been around since 93.
I don't want to see
I think we'll let that lie, let those sleeping dogs lie. Okay, I'm sorry. Back to Drops of Stupider.
You want to do some Drops of Stupider. Okay, so it's exciting times. We started with, 32 segments of TBTL, or clips of audio from TBTL, going back to the very earliest days. We are down to 4. One of these will be crowned the best moment in TBTL history, the 4 that we are down to right now, Luke.
Can I just mention?
If I may, yes.
I'll stall a little bit for you by saying big thanks to listener Jake in Chicago.
Yes.
Who put this together and did a lot of work on this. Jake, thank you very much. This is not in lieu of a donation. We still need you to donate.
Yes.
This is not, I mean,
more than ever.
There was no, we just can't operate on sweat equity as a business model.
If
but
not
thank you.
Who? okay. So today's match, and by the way, we want to crown the final winner at the end of this week.
Right.
So voting,
Friday.
Yeah. So the voting schedule is getting really fast here. I'm going to play these last two matchups for you right now, and then you're going to go to tbtl.net and you're going to click on today's show page. You're going to donate all of your life savings to TBTL, and then you're
looking
gonna
at you, Irene. What do you got in the piggy bank?
College is overrated, but
you
TBTL isn't.
Julian, you got 10? Okay, we'll take it.
Oh, actually,
Bitcoin,
these are our youngest donors, I believe.
You
we
know
actually,
what? That's true.
We work for you.
We
are our bosses. Like,
wait,
you know that, right?
What?
I think that's how it works. No.
Sorry,
did I go too far in my exuberance?
Yes, but we're very, very grateful to both everybody who's sitting in that garage right now, but to you two young folks, thank you. That was really thoughtful of you.
It was amazing.
To kick some money this way.
Okay, so are you ready for these matchups?
I'm ready.
Matchup number one, going head-to-head, we have still here, Splooch the Turtle. It just says, and I quote, in a hell of a font, Splooch-a. Now,
wait, who did Splooch beat?
What's that?
Who did Splooch beat?
So Splooch beat, believe it or not, the Blue Angels.
Whoa.
Out of the running.
Does
no
that
more
mean
Blue Angels.
You're also not afraid of heights anymore?
I don't know. We'll have to find out. So goodbye Blue Angels, which I believe was a story by Vonnegut, right?
Uh-huh.
Goodbye Blue Angels.
Yep.
And we now have Splooch the Turtle going up, and I think this is tonally hilarious, going up against Drew McFrizz robbing a bank and going to prison.
So she emptied the top drawer and she put the cash on the counter and I felt through it all, put it in the bag. And then I walked out. I walked around the corner to my van, and I drove off. Nobody saw me.
Might be worth noting that Drew's amazing saga beat out Scatting with Chris Hayes.
Whoa. So,
yeah. Take that, MSNBC.
Take that, MSM. I will mention, too, you know, that Drew, as he told that story, you know, he was dealing at that time with addiction and ended up kicking that addiction in a way that was actually very dangerous and would not recommend. But let's just say, as he described on our show, he basically reenacted Splooch the Turtle.
Right before he did his first robbery?
No, after. Like, so he found himself at the end of his rope. And he decided that he was going to kick drugs or die trying, to be totally blunt. And then after he did that, amazingly, somehow survived it, he then drove himself up to, he was in California, I believe, at the time, drove himself up to, like, Seattle, like, Bellevue area, went to his parents' house, said, "Hi, I've robbed 65 banks, and I'm going to go turn myself in." And then he went and turned himself in. But there was before he was able to do all of that, and as he was in the process of getting off of the drugs, again, in a way that was very dangerous to him medically, pretty intense splooch vibrations going on as well.
So maybe it's like splooch.
Either way, bathroom
splooch
problems
the bank
win.
Yes.
Splooch the bank robber.
Maybe that could be the show title today.
That'd be a show title.
All right, so that's
I give that a durian.
So that's your first matchup today. You can vote for Splooch the Turtle or Drew McFrizz's Saga. Now I'm going to give you the next matchup here as well. These will both be on the show page. We have, of course, and thank goodness, Luke's boat disaster story. Yeah.
I am holding myself by my fingertips, hanging there in midair, like slightly above the water. And I'm just thinking to myself, well, this is how this ends.
And what is that going up against? A little something. Oh, earmuffs, everybody. Earmuffs, a little something we call cat rolling.
This is Pepper Schwartz.
You know what? I could just fade it out before.
I like that you've now drawn the line on swearing in front of these beautiful children.
There was an F-bomb in that tape that I faded out before we got to. So, of course, the tradition of you setting up some tape that I think is going to be related to a story, but instead it's the Game of Thrones theme song sung by a cat, obviously.
Yeah.
God, just like every podcast, we're so typical. So anyway, there's your next matchup, Luke's boat disaster versus cat rolling. What is out of there? I will tell you, Jen's wedding story is now gone. Luke's boat story beat that out. And cat rolling beat Cooking with Sean, or as I have it written here, Coking with Sean, which is a totally different kind of segment. It goes by very quickly.
Ask him to get help with that.
Yes, exactly.
Am I playing the wrong thing again? Andrew, what's wrong with me?
I'm not sure. I have everything turned up here. What are we looking at here?
Not from a female.
There we go.
There's something very funky happening with my audio levels that I think some of it's just user error, but some of it I think is something going on with this computer. It's like resetting everything to zero volume.
Oh, every single individual drop you have?
Yeah, in this other setting. I just want the listeners to know that I am incompetent, but I'm not this incompetent.
That is no bueno. We'll figure that out later. But remember, we have a stream of video and audio going out to about 200 listeners right now.
Wow.
And that, to me, is the important thing we shouldn't lose sight of.
I forgot for a long time that we're on camera with this, and I don't like that feeling because I probably was really just letting my derp face out. I'm very concerned at all times at how I'm coming off, and if I were to remember that I'm on camera, like when I'm doing a CBS story, I'm always doing this thing where I'm trying to slightly turtle to minimize my double chin, and I'm trying to look thoughtful but also rugged. I think it's a lot going on. I give almost no attention to the interview questions or the person I'm talking to.
But they don't have to be there. You're not doing it for them.
But in this case, because we're just kind of hanging out with these fine folks in Corvallis, and it's just your phone on a tripod, I'm forgetting this is going on the internet. There's hundreds of people looking at me looking like a Cletus the slack-jawed yokel.
If you don't mind, I'd like to share a couple of things with you here, Luke, from the listeners. This first one is an email that came in that I found super interesting. It just came in this weekend. It's from our good friend Heidi in Minnesota.
Okay.
Of course, our, what is your official title?
The Latin correspondent.
Yeah. And one of our smartest tens, of course, and we have a lot of smart tens. And Heidi's a teacher, and she says, "This is super dumb. I just want to start off with that." Plus, I know right now you're probably embarking on a super long and stressful and fun road trip for the TBTL-a-thon. I secured my cooler already. Thank you, Heidi,
wow,
for the donation.
Thanks, Heidi.
That's great.
Appreciate
Enjoy
you.
That cooler. Looking forward to seeing photos of that out in the wild. You probably won't remember this. There are so many caveats. I love this. This is so Andrew. You probably won't even remember this since it was like 5 seconds of the show on Friday, but Luke compared the TBTL-a-thon to a gladiator event where the tens could either give a thumbs up or a thumbs down for the show's continuing existence. I just feel that it's my duty to pass along this fun fact. Scholars now believe, and this is what you'll find in most recent editions of most commonly used Latin textbooks, that those who were in charge of the gladiator games actually used the thumbs up to signal death,
what?
Indicating a sword through the chest, and thumbs down would basically mean everybody drop your weapons, you don't have to kill them this time. It's still somewhat controversial, so here's hoping the tens will all come through and give you a big metaphorical thumbs down this week. Good
Whoa.
Luck and have fun on the road. Heidi in Minnesota.
That's a crazy...
I told you I had a really fun email I wanted to share with you like 2 days ago.
That's crazy.
Paid
to
off,
me.
Paid off, right?
How many gladiators died unnecessarily due to just a mix-up?
They were just confused. Or like, can we retrain our culture to like go
I'm
back
gonna
to the source
I'm
material?
Starting right now. So next time I see somebody and they're doing something good, I'm just going to go thumbs down. Thumbs down for rock and roll.
That could be a show title, too.
Yeah, okay,
somebody writing this down because I don't have my
notepad.
My hands
are still numb.
It's really cold. And if you don't mind, I got a really nice voicemail from Joanna about her relationship with TBTL. And if you don't mind, here during the TBTL-a-thon, if you'll indulge me, I'd like to play this for you. It's very sweet.
Hi, Luke and Andrew. This is Joanna from Washington, D.C. I just wanted to say... I stopped listening for a year for some reason. I don't know what happened, but I took a break, and I'm back this week, and I'm just so relieved and happy that you guys are still doing this thing and doing the same jokes, but also new ones, and everything's different, but everything's also the same. So I just want to say thanks, and I'm going to keep on going for another year. Bye.
That was really sweet. That actually came
awesome.
In a few weeks ago, but I wanted to share it in this, the holiest of TBTL weeks, because, you know, again, that means a lot to me. And I hear from listeners, you know, often during a regular week, Luke, I'm not going to play just a voicemail often that says, hey, I really like TBTL, because it seems especially, I don't know, not just self-serving, but vain, possibly. But
and that's sort of my persona on the show.
Right, exactly. A lot of them, weirdly, are from you, which is strange. Go to the tape. We got a voicemail here from Luke, who says that he loves TBTL, especially the lead host, Andrew Walsh. Anyway, so that was just a sweet sweet note that reminded me why we do this. And it's glad to have Joanna back in the mix.
On kind of related to that, or a similar sentiment, listener April emailed and said, hi, Luke and Andrew. I'm finding the Splenda talk lately hilarious because one of the first episodes I listened to featured Luke complaining about not being able to find Splenda back in 2010.
I saw that too.
11 years later, Andrew, and I have not figured this out. There's something comforting about your griping about the same stuff after all these years. I think I might need to time travel and listen to those episodes again. Love you. Power out. April in Maine. I mean, it's... You know, everything in my brain that's trying to think of what is entertaining would say we got to come up with some new material. But it's so interesting because I think there's, for whatever reason, a certain amount of comfort to the listeners in us just kind of being right where they left us, you know, like the listener who called in and like kind of checked out for a year. By the way, I was playing this. This is the traditional thumbs down. Saying good job starting to listen to the show again. See, this is how we build that.
We're reconnecting those synapses.
But yeah, like, I mean, there's something nice about, I would imagine, about turning the show on and being like, yeah, this those two guys and they're doing their thing. And maybe Luke still hasn't found Splenda. Although I'll tell you what, I'm splendid. I'm splendid up. I'm besplendid. I'm resplendid.
You're resplendent with Splenda?
For the rest of my natural life. And really my children and my children's children. Because not only do I have at home now three huge boxes. That's a thumbs down, meaning good. Three huge boxes of Splenda that listeners have sent me. Cheryl had been saving a half consumed box of Splenda packets from when they moved into this house. She stopped using Splenda and thought, I'll probably give this to Burbank someday.
Wow.
And look at someday is now. Here we are sitting in your driveway.
You're going to be Scrooge McDucking it, aren't you? You're really going to fill a pool full of Splenda packets and just jump right in there. Just dive right in with your hands in front of you like a prayer.
I'm going to ask Carrie if I can visit the house one more time, drain the pool, fill it with Splenda packets,
it will be the last
time. Scrooge it up. Yeah, if I do that, it will be the last time.
Do you think that going with this thumbs up means thumbs down and vice versa thing, do you think that I can start like giving people the middle finger when I mean, hey, I like you a lot? Like, if I like somebody's driving, should I roll down my window and give them a big middle finger?
You know, don't do that in this van, because if they chase us, we can't escape unless they're driving a van that's older than ours.
That's a good point.
That's another thing, too, as we sort of we round third base and start to wrap today's episode up. You know, big time, big fingers crossed for this van making it to Arizona. I mean, it's been recently serviced, and it's in as good a shape as a 1993 van can be, but I'm not exaggerating when I say driving yesterday was a little bit of an eye-opener, just because like when we drove through the outback of Australia, we were in just a Hyundai Santa Fe. We were in a rental car that was modern, so it was like long drives, but it wasn't like will it make it. This thing does not drive very fast. Like
just have to have a mentality of like the woman who rented it to us, we just got to get in the right hand lane and just be like, this is it, this is we're in here for a while. A 5-hour drive is really a 6.5-hour drive. That's fine. Like we have stuff to work on. We can
We're gonna finish this and then we're gonna put the show on the internet. We're gonna hand Cheryl and Lance the thumb drive, maybe we'll give it to Irene, and then we got to break this whole thing down and then drive to Humboldt County in this thing, which is like what, 7 hours?
Yeah, something like that. As a matter of fact, I don't think we mentioned this. We have a listener named Adam, who is in Humboldt. He reached out and he said we can do the show in his driveway or outside of his home in some way. So that's a new development that we'll be exploring tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be at Adam's house in Humboldt, in Eureka, I believe, or the greater Eureka area. He might be in Fortuna.
Fortuna,
which is literally where I'm from.
Nice. Perfect.
That's the actual cradle of the burbs.
The cradle of the burbs.
Not to be confused with the carol of the bells. The cradle of the burbs. All right, Andrew, what do you say?
All right.
One more quick reminder, as if. Yes. Like, it would be crazy. I mean, I guess because we're streaming this on YouTube, there's like a chance somebody just turned it on. So I'll just remind you that this is the week where we are asking folks to donate if they like the show, or if this is something that, you know, feels like has some value in your life and you can donate, that would be awesome. If you've been donating, thank you. And if you want to continue doing that, or maybe even move up a level, if again that's something that works for your finances, that would be the best, because then we can do this show for another year and also pay for the second half of the van rental, because we only had to put half the money down up front.
Right.
And so if we don't make the money we're supposed to make this week, I don't know what we're going to do.
And, you know, we have heard from some new listeners in the past year or so who didn't even really know what a TBTL was, including, you know, some people who are just looking for a different Andrew Walsh on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, we've got an update on that guy. Maybe tomorrow's show from Humboldt County will fill people
from
in on
Funkasaurus.
That.
He's been hitting me up, too. So, you know, maybe you didn't know that two or three episodes into your listening, we'd be asking you to support the show. But anyway, if you are a new listener and you didn't know this is how it works, this is how it works. And we really, really, really appreciate it. Go to tbtl.net and click on that donate button.
If you stole our signs and then you called the voicemail line, then you Googled TBTL, and now you've started listening, this is your time to donate. Because those signs were $150.
I was going to say, if you stole the signs, it's not a donation. You owe us $100. I'll take the signs. Just give me the signs.
Should we just spray paint something on the side of the van? They can't steal that.
All right. I'm going to go out with this. Okay. Run Always.
This is from listener Ian in Superior,
the
Wisconsin.
Lab Funk remix.
All right. Hey, thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Cheryl, Lance, Irene, Julian, thank you for hosting us in your lovely driveway.
Thank you so much. Sorry I didn't make better eye contact the whole time.
Mother Gaia, thank you for not blowing our canopy over, because we would have been just fucked.
Language!
All right, we'll see y'all tomorrow from Humboldt County, California. Until then, have a great Monday. Stay safe, take care of yourselves, take care of each other. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all, and us, but all.
Mostly us. Doubt.
power out.